show forth something. That you would show forth the kingdom of God on the earth. This is our ideal. This is what we want to grow up into in Christ. That we are the light of the world. That we are the salt of the earth. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father in heaven. So we let our light shine. We don't shine our light at them. We're not taking aim, but we let it shine. We cannot be hid, for we are set on a hill. God has placed us where we are so that all may see. When he places us where all may see. So we do not try to cover it up. And notice, these are not necessarily things that people would... Some of these things people would see as right? But persecution for righteousness' sake. Don't hide that. You know, our meekness, our temperance, our godliness is not to be hid. But not to be made a show of either. As we will get to in chapter 6. But I say that ahead of time. Jesus is going to get to it. But I'm talking about 5 times, 10 times as long as he talked. Because we're covering this in a little more detail. Because people will read over these things and they won't get it. And you know, honestly, and I'll talk to them and they won't get it. But this talk is for those who are excited about God's word. For those who are moved by the word and by the preaching thereof to action and to seek and to faith and to believe. Those are the ones for whom this is said, because you can't get enough. You know, for me, the scripture is not enough. It is not enough to merely read the scripture. I have to talk about the scripture. No man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel. God did not put this, the love of this truth into me that it should just be inside me and hiding inside me. He put it into me that it would come out and that the light would shine and that the waters would come forth and that I would speak and that saltiness would be tasted. You know, these things are not put in us merely for, oh, well, gee, I read the Gospels. I guess I'll keep it to myself now. Verse 17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say to you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'll tell you what, the scribes and Pharisees were among the most righteous people in their time, or at least they were looked at as such. As Jesus said, they appeared like whited sepulchres. They appeared outwardly to men to be righteous, but inwardly they were filled with dead men's bones. And they had perfected all that one could do with outward righteousness, all that one could do with adhering to the letter of the law. But to the spirit, they could not speak. They could not fix hearts. They could only fix the outward behavior. So they would wear their garments just so. They would wear their beards exactly as long as permitted. They would do exactly according to the written commandment. But beyond that, to the heart, they could not reach. Jesus did not come to destroy the law. He did not come to destroy, but to fulfill it. The law is a schoolmaster, and the law is still true. Christ fulfilled the law. For we who are his, we who are his chosen, who are the faithful in him, do partake of him as a sacrifice, and also his spirit writing in us the works of the new covenant, that we would be doers of righteousness, and doers of godliness, and doers of virtuosity, I suppose you would say. He makes us the doers of those things, and he makes us to be those things. So that we fulfill the law. The law is not for us, though. That's the thing. You got to understand, when Christ has come to fulfill the law, he fulfills it for us, that it is no longer for us. As Paul the Apostle said in, I believe it was Timothy, probably 1 Timothy. I'm going to check in spite of the fact that I'm pretty sure of myself. Yeah, 1 Timothy verse 9. The law, he says... In verse 8 he says, we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for ungodly and sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for whoremongers and them that defile themselves with mankind, for, that's homosexuals, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, even heretics. according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, which I thank God our Lord Jesus Christ, right? That he's counted me worthy, etc., right? But then verse 13, which was before a blasphemer, and before a persecutor and injurious, but he obtained mercy. Look at, and you can read my study on Timothy if you want more on that. Jesus came to fulfill the law for we who are partakers of the covenant. But for those who are not partakers of the covenant, the judgment of God stands that fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, wicked, the law is still in effect. You will be judged according to God's righteousness, according to the judgment of God. God's judgment has not changed as pertaining to what sin is. But the law is not made for a righteous man, but for ungodly and sinners. Why? Thou shalt not kill. Me kill? I'm not a murderer. I'm righteous. So the commandment, thou shalt not kill, has no meaning to me. If so be that Christ has written in my heart obedience to the truth by the new covenant in which he writes into our hearts purity, where he makes our hearts pure and right. And we must pursue it to the end. If this is at all true, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is at all true, then it is, from my perspective and my experience, it is something we have to continually pursue and grow in to obtain. Some people claim that they have instantaneous transformations from sinfulness to godliness. And to me, that's no different than those people who sin up to the last moment of their life and then they expect they're going to walk into heaven righteous people. That if God didn't have a process in mind, I don't know why he would have put us into this world. But I don't know the purposes of God in any case to be able to speak to those things. So you understand, I'm saying that with some reservation, if nothing else. Jesus said, now people would say, oh, Paul, come on, the Ten Commandments are still in place. It is only the ceremonial and sacrificial laws that God has done away with. Well, I'll tell you what. He certainly fulfilled all the law, right? Because he said, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle cannot pass from the law till all be fulfilled. All must be fulfilled, or none of it can pass. Not one, the tiniest little part, the jot or the tittle, you know, are some of the smallest marks in Hebrew writing. And he's saying the smallest little mark, and even things that seem insignificant, are not to pass from the law.